Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Wow. Isn't it nice to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, some of you might not have seen, but on Thursday night, I was door greeting for a little bit. And it's because I was reading in the Bible where King David said, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than not to be there at all. Amen. And I tell you what, it's just refreshing to be a part of the kingdom, because I got to put you on notice. I don't mean to make you upset before we do good worship music and all that, but I might as well just tell you the truth to start out. If you have not yet received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't know yourself. The Bible says it's the will of God for every person to be saved. He's the one that gave you life. He's the one that touched you in your mother's womb. He's the one who declared you to come. He's the one who declared for you to be on this earth. But he thought you'd be like a man or a woman of wisdom, and that you'd never try to handle life by yourself, but you would understand that he's God, he's your Father. He sent Jesus because he loves you, and his way is the right way. Whew. So I just thought I'd get us started right this morning. Praise the Lord. And with that being said, we're just going to worship him, and we're going to be so thankful that we serve such a good God. Baby, you're looking good this morning.
Amen. If you're ready to worship him, come on. Hallelujah. How many's ready? How many are thankful that God has kept you and saved you? Amen.
To hide this weary soul, this vagabond. And I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I'm in a row, I'm and he told me that I was not alone. You picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning, hey, like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friend. But in bitterness, you can't just keep it moving, hey. You sure not welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. You picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friend. But in bitterness, you can't just keep it moving. You're not welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul.
You crown me with prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never.
Come on, let's sing the weapon this morning.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Cause when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Come on, there's power.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he wins.
Come on, declare that again. There's power this morning.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. And every war he wages, he wins.
Come on, let me hear this part.
And I'm not backing down from any giant.
Come on, declare that this morning.
And I'm not backing down from any giant.
Come on, use your faith.
And I'm not backing down from any giant.
Why?
Cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Use your voice this morning.
I'm gonna see. What the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Sing it again. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You turn. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Yeah.
Don't feel uncomfortable. We don't. We can sit in the silence of the Lord for a moment. He's doing something. And we're just waiting to hear what he wants us to do. I feel him so strong in here. And as we were singing that song, he told me that it's not you singing the song that gives you the confidence that he already has the victory. It's that you've spent time with him. You've been in his word that tells you that he's given you the victory. You singing that song just solidifies it in your heart and in your mind. It makes everything one think the same within you. Your spirit don't fight against your flesh when you've spent the time to understand who he is and what he's done. And when you come in here and you take the time to sing forth his praises and to focus on him and him alone. You know, I've heard recently that, you know, some people are afraid to raise their hands because somebody might see them. Or somebody's afraid to shout because somebody might hear them. Or clap their hands because somebody might see them. Listen, first of all, if you're one looking around trying to figure out what everybody's doing, if you're new and you don't know Jesus, I get it. What we're doing is we're praising the one God who gave us life. The one God who brought us from death to life. Because before we knew Jesus, we weren't alive. Our path was hell. Sin had come into the world and we were born into a world of sin. And we were all sinners headed for hell. But for Jesus that went to the cross, died, rose on the third day, and now we're all saved. Amen? Those that call upon his name is saved. And that's what you hear from us. When you see somebody jumping, when you see somebody clapping, when you see somebody shout of victory, when you see somebody raising their hands, you don't know what God has brought them out of. The freedom that he's given us. Amen. My testimony is my testimony and your testimony is yours. But let me tell you what, I will never stop praising him. I will never stop shouting. I will never stop dancing before his name because he has done so good to me. He has been so good to me that I have been brought out of a life of suicide that I just want to live and proclaim his name every day. That's why we dance. That's why we shout. The Bible says to clap unto the Lord, to shout unto the Lord, to play on your instruments, to play skillfully. That's why we do it. We're not doing it for you to see us do it or to hear our voice. We're doing it for him. And actually, our prayer is that you don't even hear us when we're doing this, that you get so in the presence of God that you hear your voice singing before the Lord. And it's you and him, and it's you and him alone. And if you're saved and been in the church, don't be a Pharisee. Don't look around you. Don't see what somebody else is doing and what their praise is. You haven't lived their life, you've lived yours. Let me tell you what. If you would have lived their life, you might be jumping and shouting and raising your hands too. You might be ever so grateful that the God of God saved you and brought you out. And that nothing's going to keep your mouth shut. And if you're not there yet, I get it. If you're still coming along, I get it. But I don't want anybody in here to care what somebody else thinks about your worship and about your praise to God. There is a freedom for you to do what you want. It's only your mind that stops you. Because when I get to heaven, I am never going to be asked, well, what did that person next to you think? What did that person next to you say? How did that person next to you live? Shane, I ain't getting asked about you when I get to heaven. When I get to heaven, he's going to turn that microscope on me. And he's going to say, either enter in, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or depart from me, you worker of iniquity, and I won't have it. Amen? Not because somebody thought I was crazy when I was worshiping. I am crazy. I'm crazy for the Lord and the things of God. Amen? Amen. The Bible says, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. None of you be ashamed
to worship the way you want to worship, and none of you stop worshiping the way you want to worship because somebody might see you do something. I'm telling you what, you keep that attitude up. If you're looking, God might have you be the one falling down on the ground, rolling around, looking like you're all crazy, but you're just under the power of the Holy Ghost. It might be you. He might break something off of you. Amen? And wish to God he would if we need it. Because this atmosphere is open for him to do whatever he wants. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to sing a blessing over you, a blessing over our kids as they get ready to go back to school this week or next week, some of them. Amen.
The Lord turn his face towards you.
your children and their children and their children. His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you. He is for you, He is for you, He is for you.
Everything that's going on in their lives, Father God. You know every battle they face. Father, you know every situation that they're coming up against. You know every need that they have. And Father, as we sang earlier, I never met a battle you've lost. Never been in a fight that you've lost. Because Lord, many are the afflictions, but you deliver us. And we thank you that, Father God, everything that is before us, you've already taken care of. You've already shown your light upon it. You have chased the darkness away. And I thank you that we are walking in your victory. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Woo!
Praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. Woo. Did you guys get it all out? Hallelujah. Praise Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo. Hallelujah, amen. You know, I know I'm a little strange, hallelujah, but so is every one of you. The Bible says that every one of us who believe on the Lord, we are peculiar people. Now that means special, it means unique,
It means individually designed and created as who you are. And it also means, though, that we are called a royal priesthood. We're a peculiar people. And I think that's the part that we need to start identifying with, is you know you have a warrior identity.
Amen.
Come on, you're a soldier. Come on, you have a kingly or queenly anointing, a presence around you that has authority wrapped around it. And it's about time for God's people to be what he says in the Bible. He says that if you really seek him the way he wants you to seek him, that people will start seeing what's on you, and they will know that you are unique. And they actually say in the Bible, the Lord says that we will be called a delightsome land. Amen? And I'm telling you, as we see the world unfold, you know, I got to tell you something. People have been telling me that, you know, stress is up, and I know that, and things are difficult for people. But I got to tell you, the peace of God is keeping me. And the peace of God will keep you. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You good, or you got something to say?
I don't want to start, because it seems like when I start, you go till 12:30.
Well, you get me all fired up.
I don't think we can afford that today.
Amen, amen.
Amen. God is just good.
You got something to say there.
Amen. God is just good.
Yes, he is good.
He is so good. Amen. I think we forget that he's our Father. He's not somebody up there just making rules, do's and don'ts.
Amen.
He's not doing it just because he wants to make your life miserable because you can't do this and you can't do that. No. No. First of all, he's given you free will. So you can do whatever you want to do. It's up to you. Amen? I choose to do what he tells me to do because I've not done it. And it's caused great harm.
Mm-hmm.
It's caused great pain. With sin comes death. And even though I repented and came back to him, it didn't erase the effects of that sin. I still had to pay the price for that sin. Amen? So, but your Father is a good Father who loves you. That before he formed this earth, think about this. We can't think beyond getting out of bed some days. And before he formed this earth, you were in his heart. He's going to put man on this planet, and he's going to watch over them. They're going to be his children. But I need to make a way for escape in case they're deceived by the enemy and sin comes into the world. So I'm going to send my only son, and I'm going to make this planet. I'm going to set it down because I want to make every way of escape for my children. That's the God you serve. That he's given you all power and authority. He said, I'm going to place my spirit not just on the earth in some handmade Ark of the Covenant that they used to be able to carry around. But he said, I'm going to place it in them. Mm-hmm. He lives in you. He lives in me. That's why the Bible calls your body a temple. Because the living one, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, he lives in us. Amen? No longer something made with our natural hands, but he lives within us. Mm-hmm. That's how much he loves you. And I'm going to send my only son, and I'm going to have him pay the price for them, because the devil is not going to keep my children apart from me.
Amen.
I'm going to make a way. Amen? And then he gives you promises. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I will deliver you out of all of them.
Come on. Yeah.
Storms are coming, but don't worry. That storm's going to pass and you're going to be victorious. And then he gives you extra stuff on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
When the thief be found out, he must pay sevenfold what he stole from you.
Amen.
God's math is so amazing. I wish they'd taught this kind of math in school, or at least the banks would do this kind of math. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You put in 100 and all of a sudden there's 700 or 800 in there. Because God says, you know what? The enemy stole 100 from them. So I'm putting in, amen. So that he's, listen. And then he said, I'm going to take care of them because this world is lost and dying and I need workers. And not only am I going to put my son in them, but I'm going to give them all the authority and power that I gave to him while he was on this earth. I'm going to give it to Jesus. And then Jesus says more than that, because I go to the Father for you and I sit at the right hand. And I watch over you. And I pray for you and I keep you. Amen. Listen, you can't run far enough away from him that he just will not love you.
Amen.
It won't happen. You can't do enough bad in this world that he just won't love you. He loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. And every moment he looks at you waiting for you to cry out his name so that he can come rescue you.
Amen.
That's the kind Praise of God, God we serve.
Amen.
If you don't have kids and if you have nieces and nephews and you ever see them in a situation where they're getting ready to get hurt, what's your first response? You're going to jump up and you're going to get over and you're going to get them. Have you ever seen those videos of those dads that are superhuman in moments where kids are falling off couches and the dad is apparently asleep and all of a sudden he comes alive and he grabs that kid before the kid hits the ground?
Amen.
Or they're swinging and all of a sudden the kid starts to come out and dad like shoots out of nowhere and grabs the kids before he hits the ground. That's natural. God is not natural.
Mm-hmm.
He is there. You don't even see what he's doing on your behalf.
Praise God.
You don't even know the things. And you know, those kids get up and just walk on like, oh, that's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Dad about Amen. Broke his neck doing it, but yeah, it's no big deal.
Amen. Praise God.
God is forever,
Amen.
Forever making more moves than that on your behalf. And he
Amen.
Will.
Amen.
He will at any point accept you and forgive you.
Amen.
And move you in from death to Amen. Life.
You know, it's so funny because God is never against you. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. He only cares about you giving him an opportunity to be a part of your life. I mean, he's like, as soon as you say, he's like, come on, let's go. But you can't pretend with the king. You know, I've met a lot of people in Kenton. And one thing I can say about here in Kenton is people don't like fake people. Now, sometimes that means that we're so real that we seem blunt and too straightforward sometimes. But I tell you what, God would rather you be true to who you are than be a pretender. He does not want you hanging in the church if you're just going to be lukewarm. Oh, he said, I would prefer you to be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out anyway. Now, I don't mean to be so frank on a Sunday morning. Man, I should save this for Thursdays because that's more like boot camp. But on Sunday this morning, I'm just going to tell you how it is with God. You have something in you that, man, you don't like lying. You don't like someone to be mistreating you, saying one thing, doing another, being evil behind your back or talking smack. See, I'm telling you, there's no one who wants you to be more straightforward than God. Now, if you choose to disregard him from your life, you will smash God's heart and break his heart. We learned Thursday that even a sparrow can't fall to the ground without God knowing and being aware. But if you get on fire for him, man, I'm telling you, God will back you and help you in every measure of your life. And I'm just telling you that it's better to be in than out. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go through these quickly. I think, do we have a recap video of VBS?
Yep.
Praise God.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to sit down and see it.
Amen.
This is what your kids got to do for VBS. You're going to see how amazing this is. Maybe?
Wow.
Woohoo!
I'm so happy to tell you about the Marvel Zoo. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good to see you. This is Pastor Jared here, and we've just got done with an incredible week of Vacation Bible School here at Only Believe at Kenton. And man, it was our first time having one at our new building here, and it went amazing. It was called The Marvelous Zoo, an amazing showcase of creation and identity. And we were able to spend a week teaching our boys and girls about how God is a creator, what he created each day, and tie it to the importance of our identity in him. And it was just an incredible time where the kids learned about drawing their value and their worth from their creator, who they are made in his image. Of course, it was a zoo, so we had live animals every night. And just so much fun eating delicious snacks, creating amazing crafts, hearing exciting lessons and playing fun games, lots of prizes. And the coolest thing about it all, guys, is that we had incredible times of worship. We had over 50 kids get prayed for and ministered to. We had over 35 first-time salvations. And God just moved in just a mighty way next to us. And we're just so thankful for that. We had an amazing team that did an incredible job, that sold out and just had a great heart the whole time, serving the kids and just hanging with them. So we want to thank them, guys, and check out all the amazing things that will happen here at Vacation Bible School.
Awesome. That was pretty amazing. And our kids are blessed, man. And we're going to pray over them
that
today
amazing.
As they get ready to head back to vacation or head back to school and
what
all that.
What cracks me up is that just happened. And then somebody sees our main house is doing an Aqua Grande.
Yeah.
That they've been doing for years and have acquired quite a many things for it and said, we need to do this.
Amen. I'm not afraid of that vision.
No, amen. No, actually, for those of you, we have already discussed it. It's not something we can do this year, but we are. It is in future plans.
Amen.
Aqua Grande out there on that side is in future plans, just
amen.
So you know.
Woo!
So the kids will love that,
hey,
too.
Hey, we want to give you a kind reminder to remember to not park right next to our doors out there. There's a cement driveway so that cars can come under so that more mature people or people that might have altered walk, or we got people that are got knee things going on. We like them to be able to drive up, drop people off, and then go park. So if you could honor that to where you park far enough out so a car could come through there, that would be amazing.
And no matter when we're here, if we're here just for meetings, no matter what event is happening at this church, we always want to make it accessible for anybody to be able to pull up under there, drop somebody off, and be able to easily get into the building.
Amen.
Amen.
And let's practice now during the summer so we'll be experts by wintertime. Amen.
Oh, yeah. And when it's raining, people don't want to get out. Well, women, we don't want to get out in the rain. We want that to be free. We want you to pull us up, drop us off, and then you go get wet coming in.
Amen. And that's what men do, right? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God, hallelujah. My hair will get messed up too, but that's okay as long as yours look nice, baby.
It might turn more gray. I don't know if that's possible.
Now, I also want to say one more thing, and then we're going to release the kids, and we're going to get ready for the offering time. We have...
Right now, or are you praying?
No.
Later.
Then,
okay.
Yeah.
No.
We have the Summer Slam Tour today. And that's going to be at Waterworth Park.
No, we don't. They do.
And if you want to know more information about it, see that handsome young gentleman there.
Okay, I know a little bit. Seventh Day Slumber.
Yeah.
Relent. Mm-hmm. And M and G. If
don't you say M and M.
No.
Whoa.
No, the last letter I had. Right.
Yeah.
GFM. I was close.
But that's going to be at 7 p.m. And listen. It's going
to
be a loud sound concert that's going
to
be blessed. But this is being sponsored by Indeed and In Truth Ministries, which is an outreach ministry that Logan and Amber have started, and many of you help and assist. So We praise God for that. We're thankful for that. And we're doing some to invest in that too. Amen. I got to be cooking this weekend and made some good food because I want these singers to be energized and able to do their thing tonight. So it's going to be a real blessing.
Amen. And make sure you pray for this event today. As you're going out your day, pray for the people that are going to be there, that they would have a great time, that everything would go smooth, that anybody that doesn't know Jesus, their hearts would be open and they know, because that's what this is all about. It's all about Jesus. Amen.
All right. Now we're going to have the children take off to their continued celebration. And then we're going to have offering today. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I'm getting there. Oh, just so you know how much my dad loves me, he texts me at 11:51, telling me I'm doing this. But I'm going to read. I still like, I'm like you, though. I like to know what I'm doing. I miss wanting to be clean. All right. So in Colossians 3, 22 and 23, it's funny because this doesn't actually speak on offering, but it says, "Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men." So this was a scripture God gave me last night, and as I was praying over it, it made me think about how tithe and offerings work. Now, we're all men and women of faith in here, and we all tithe, and that's not a question. That's not even something we think about. But God started to really press on my heart about offering. So when I was reading this, I saw that it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters." And I stopped right there, and I started to think, like, we're all servants. So obey all things in your masters. And when I was really thinking about it, I feel like there's times where, I don't know about you guys, but God tells me I got to give an offering. And I'm like, God, you know what time of the month it is? God, you know, my rent's coming up this week. And for me, it was, yeah, I have those things, but God spoke it to me. And I have to do in all things. And then it reads on, in singleness of heart, fearing God, and doing it heartily as unto the Lord. How often do we work at our places of employment? And we do above and beyond there. How often do we do something for our family members? And we go above and beyond there without question, without even having to be asked or told. But God puts one little tug on our heart about a number that's a little uncomfortable. And we don't want to do it. So this morning, God just kind of wanted me to put on your hearts that whatever he's giving you to give today or in general, just do it. Honor God. Do it with joy in your heart, with happiness. Do all things as unto him. And don't hold back. Because if you hold back, you're not only missing out on things that can bless you, but you're missing out on setting yourself up to be able to bless others. So we're going to bring the buckets up, and I'm going to pray. So, Father God, I thank you for the offering this morning, Lord. I thank you for each and every single person that's able to give and each and every single person that's not, Lord God. I pray that you bless their hearts, Lord God, and you bless their hands so that they can give. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
See a victory for
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. How you guys doing today? Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Now, you know, I would say something here because sometimes, you know, like I like to say, hey, I ain't going to preach long, but I am going to preach strong. So today, I am going to say that I'm going to preach strong. The question is how short or how long? And the other thing I'm going to say is maybe if you guys would receive what I say the first time, I wouldn't have to reinforce it. No, I'm just kidding you. But no, seriously, we are going to do the second part of our teaching because last week we started talking about what does it really mean to be the church of the second mile, and we're going to get to that. You know, last week I wore, you know, my jacket, I was a little more dressed up, and I got to tell you something, that's my comfort zone when I come to church because that's what I was taught even from a little boy. So today I thought that I better wear my other comfort zone, amen, because I want people to know that whether you want to put on a jacket, shorts, or a shirt like I got on, you are welcome to come into the presence of God because the Bible says that our Father in heaven is not interested in what's on the outside. Come on now. He's not interested on what you're wearing today. He's interested on what's on the inside of you. And he's looking into you and looking towards your heart. And his desire is that we have made room for him. You know, I've told you before that the Bible says that our outward man is perishing every day, but our inward man should be renewed.
I guess I'm cracking and making noise, so I guess this is a better option for me. The problem you guys have is that I feel like my voice is louder in this microphone. Amen? No, I'm just kidding you. But anyhow, I want to remind each and every one of you of a couple things before I get into our message today. So the Lord just showed me a few things that I got to speak to us on because we talked about this last week, but I want to bring it into today. And then I want to talk about what does it mean to be the church of the second mile. That's who we are. But I also want you to know that church is not just in this building. Church should be reflected in you outside of here. In fact, I want you to know that when we're in here, we feel the presence of God. But I want you to know that God doesn't make his primary home this place. Do you know where God's preference is to have his primary home? In your heart. You are the temple of God. Whether you know it or not, your intention from the foundation of the earth has been to be a person that allows Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life so that you can become all you're meant to be in this lifetime. You know, I want to just tell you that I was just reading over the weekend and I was just reading through how many multimillionaires and billionaires and famous actors and wrestlers and all these people have achieved what would be the world's idea of success. This might be too old for some of you guys, but like who remembers a man by the name of Robert Williams? He was a comedian that was supposed to be, What's his name? Robin Williams. Now you got it. I was trying to trick you. I wanted you guys to all laugh and say, Robert Williams. No, it's Robin Williams. Because I wanted you to remember that this guy played on Mork and Mindy, and he was just funny, and he just became a multimillionaire and became so popular. And do you know how he left this earth? Took his own life. And he left here sooner than Jesus wanted him to. Now, I believe by the grace and the mercy of God that even in those last few moments, he reached up and God received. That's what I'm praying for. But I want you to know that people should leave this earth when they finish their course having done a great life by the power of God and being at absolute peace when they leave. Amen? Even if you leave early from being sick or something, people should be able to look back and remember your legacy was that you reflected to them the love and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I want to just remind you of a couple things about yourself, and then we're going to get into this thing. And the first thing I want to remind you is that, you know, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says that if you shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we talked a little bit about the fact that you can get saved in church, on the street, anywhere. I want you to know that I first got saved when I was 5 years old in the church, and I wanted Jesus to be the Lord and my Savior. But I tell you what, by the time I got into college age, whoo, I was here and there and everywhere. Amen. Thanks for the help, babe. But anyhow, boy, she's glad to let you guys know that. No, I'm just kidding you. But, you know, I want you to know, and that's one tough woman, I'm telling you. I mean, she supported me. Honey, when I wasn't even man enough to keep the lights on in the house and the water. I remember we used to live in a little apartment that didn't have either, and you stuck right by this crazy man. Thank God that you saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. Amen. God is faithful. But anyhow, I want you to know something, that all I did one time is in this apartment with no lights and no water, and my wife was pregnant with our son, and we weren't even married yet.
Amen.
I was backslidden, and my sweetie wasn't even saved, didn't even know what church was. And she knew what it was, but you hadn't, John 3:16, when you used to go get candy at vacation Bible school, by the way. That was a life scripture for her. But anyhow, she had to go home because I was so broke, I couldn't take care of her. And it was the most embarrassing day of my life. I had to send my wife home, my future wife, home with her parents because I couldn't even take care of her. My last meal I fed her before she left our house was a can of chicken noodle soup that I heated up over a candlestick with a couple crackers. And she was pregnant, carrying my son, who needed a father who should have been able to provide for him. But I had become so tough. I don't know what's going on. I had become so tough and so hard in my heart that here I was running my life on my own. There was a job I worked every day, didn't make the worst money in the world, but our money would just go. And I'm telling you, it was just so crazy that when she left that night, I'm in a completely dark apartment with no lights, no nothing. But yet a light shined in under an old table. Now, if you're in the dark, you know looking under a table is even darker. And by the way, it was a black binded Bible, so my cover's darker yet. But there was a light on in my house enough that I pulled that out, and I went over and lit the candle back on. And the Lord showed me John 10:10. I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And sitting there in all that mess and sin, away from God, not doing anything I should be doing, Shane, words coming out of my mouth that should have never been coming out, fighting with people, doing crazy stuff. All of a sudden, I just said, Lord, if you will be the God of this Bible, I'll live for you. And I'm telling you, it wasn't no in-between for me. I even went down and told the guys at the pool hall, I might come down here and pray pool, but I won't be speaking this way. I won't be doing this. I won't be doing that anymore, because I'm telling you, I got to be something different for that lady and for my son. Now, I got to tell you something. We still had some rough roads. Took us a little time to get on track, but I got to tell you, from that day forward, I was changed, and my life unfolded in a different way. Within a couple weeks, I got promoted, moved to a different job. We worked things out. We just started working towards the kingdom. I was walking because I didn't have a vehicle for a while. Man, I forget all this stuff, babe. You forgot. We didn't even have a vehicle. I'm telling you, I used to have to walk down to the grocery store, and I used to have to walk everywhere, and I would just say, Lord, I just thank you wherever my feet shall rock. You have given me the rule in this place. And the next thing I know, I got a job, and there was a guy that lived right down the street that would come pick me up, and another guy would drop me off. One was a union man. The other guy was a management guy. And they would just take me to work every day for at least a couple months till we got a vehicle. Then I hopped right in a vet. That's how much God will bless you, man. I went from walking to driving in a vet. The only thing, it was about a 1980 Chevette in the 90s. That probably cost about $225. But I tell you what, when you went from walking in the heat and the cold to living in a car that at least had enough air conditioning to keep you from being too hot and a little bit of heat to keep you from freezing, boy, you thought you were driving a Mercedes, amen? But anyhow, I used to like to tell people that story. I went from walking to a vet. Chevette, come on. The Bible says be thankful over the small things and be faithful over the small, and God will give you much. But I want you to understand something. How was I able to do that? The same way you're able to do it. Now remember, we're going to talk about the church of the second mile. But before we talk about the church of the second mile, I want to talk to you about the individuals that it takes to make up a church like this. A church where there's no judgment. A church that's an oasis of love. A church that's a shelter of hope for all people. A church that will walk beside people until they get the victories, because most of the people, or a lot of people in church, not all, but a lot of people come from places like where we did. You know, I know sometimes people tell me a story and I'll just say, praise God, you got this. It's going to be okay. And I know they're looking at me like this because they believe that I've been, you know, kind of well off all my life. They believe that I've never had any challenges. They believe that I've lived the easy life. And it looks like that now. And I'd be telling you a disservice if I didn't tell you that we get to live pretty good nowadays. No fear. I can go get a hamburger, probably one too many every now and then. But anyhow, what I'm telling you is that you would look at me and think that, hey, this guy, no, no, no. I want you to know that I went from the grave to the garden. I want you to know that I went from death to life. I want you to know that I went from misery. I will even tell you that there was times where I can remember where a big semi was coming down the road. And I actually had the thought. Now I look at myself in the mirror. And I look at my sweetie pie I got. And I thought, devil, how could I be so stupid to think that I wasn't all that in a bag of chips? But anyhow, praise God, I'm just kidding you. But anyhow, I remember going down the road, and for a split second, I have the thought, if I just pulled in front of that semi, you know, this would all be over. Nobody would care. But the Lord spoke to me and said, what would you do to him? Phew. What would you do to him? And I thought, man, I got a beautiful woman and a baby and all this stuff coming, because this was before we were saved. And I said, I don't want to put that on anybody. Who knows what he's going through in that truck? And God was starting to change my heart before I was ever really even saved and really there. But I want you to know that it says that if I would believe in my heart and confess with my mouth and not play games. Oh, come on. If you think you're a serious person, you better get yourself under the microscope is this little compared to how serious God is. His son came and laid down his life for people who would degrade his name forever, even though salvation is right at their fingertips. So if you want to talk about living straight and being real, you don't want to be anything more than a Christian. Amen? Christ-like. But I want you to know that here is the epitome of what we're getting to. 1 John 5:4. Now listen, I tell you what, I've been called all kinds of things. All kinds of different names, amen? So when I read this in the Bible, I got excited because I realized that I qualified. Whew! It says this in 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That means in order to live God's way, it's easy. Not by yourself. Listen, we cannot do this on our own. And it is not easy for us to say we're going to live like a Christian. But I tell you what, his commandments are not difficult. They're simple to understand. They're not grievous. They're not going to take you deeper into oppression, darkness, or sadness. They're going to give you liberty. And what's so great about it is that you never have to live this life on your own strength. Hallelujah. But it says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, here's your problem. You lived your whole life saying, well, if God's real, why is my life such a mess? If God's real, why did this happen to so-and-so? They're a good person. If God is so great, why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he do this? He's done his part. Jesus has done his part. That Bible just said that what overcomes the world is your faith. See, the reason I'm here and changed today is because my faith changed me into who I am by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, he directs me and guides me, and I listen to him, and he helps me, and it comes alongside me. And the Bible says that I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. Hello, now you know why you got problems. If you do all things in Christ, this is what I figured out. Man, no wonder my life's a mess. I don't got Jesus on any part of my life right now. And all I got is problems everywhere. But as soon as I started walking in unity with him and said, Lord, I don't want my strength. I don't want my wisdom. I want the mind of Christ and I want your strength. Then I could start doing what God asked me. I could even break away from addictions and habits that had me until Jesus had me. Amen? And so what I'm telling you here is part of the problem with the church and the world right now is we're sitting there saying, God, God, and he's sitting there saying, it's your faith. Ask me in. Let me help. Speak differently. Read my word. Get something in you to attack life with. See, the Bible says that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. Listen to me. Even if you are praying today, if you're not praying based upon scripture, there's little power in your prayer. Now, God hears you, he loves you, and he will temporarily alleviate your issues when you're in the heat of them. But if you're going to break them off of you permanently, you better understand that it's time for you to quit saying, God, God, God. And it's time for you to say, look, my faith overcomes the world. If I will release something in my faith, I have the power to protect my spouse. Woo! And listen, that ain't just for a guy. That's for a girl, too. Let me tell you something, Miss Holly. There's times where your faith has brought power into your husband, just like his faith brings power into you. Listen, you have power in your faith to help your children live a better life. You have power in your faith to reach over and help your friends be something that they cannot be on their own and without the strength of your faith. You have power in your life to help your neighbor. You have power in your life to help your coworkers. And hello, you have power in your life through your faith to even help the stranger. Wow. One responsibility you're going to learn is that being a part of church means that you don't just live for yourself. See, even before you were saved, you had good thoughts towards other people. Even before you were saved, you'd want to help certain folks. Now, it might have only been a select few. And you might have still kept them at a distance. But even before you knew it, there's parts of your life that we could look back and see the God-likeness in you. But your faith can only be released at the level that you will dig into God to let him come and bring authority and power to your life. So we're telling you right now that the foundation of this church in any church has to be individual people that are not hypocritical or fake, but they will dig into the word and prayer and living for God. And not only is it for them, but it'll be for other people. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I want to just share with you a couple things here as we're getting to us being the church of the second mile. What does that really mean? Well, we're about to read it in just a second. But before we go on, I'm just compelled by God to share something else with you. Hallelujah. If I quit hitting the wrong thing here, we can get there quicker. I want to just remind you that in Isaiah 41, and I want you to know that the Bible says this, the Lord says this, what God has said to one, he says to all. So when you read these scriptures, you need to put yourself in these scriptures, because it says right here in Isaiah 41, 9, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said to thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I tell you what, when I was young, I have a brother that's 10 years older than me, and he was in the military. And I used to love it when he would be home, because I had two other brothers in between that were older than me, and they could be mean. But when my big brother was around, I could give them a little attitude. And all I had to do was run up under my brother Larry, who we called Nate. All I had to do was run up under his wings of authority, brother. And it was like I had the backing of a 225-pound piece of blue twisted steel in the military that was a special, in the special forces within the military. He was a Green Beret. And I tell you what, I had two brothers that couldn't touch me. Remember the old MC Hammer song? You can't touch this. I used to like to be just bold with them guys around. But then I got to tell you something. When I found Jesus and I found God, I had to tell my big brother, brother, I still love you. And you are still my hero. And I thank you for your service. But you are no longer my covering. I had to go somewhere much deeper than you, my brother. Woo! But I said that to you to say this. If you will really start today and let God be your source, there's nothing you're afraid of. There's nothing that challenges you. There's nothing that overtakes you now that will be able to overtake you when you really give your life to the Lord. Amen? And this is the foundation of a person who is going to be what God wants us to be. Amen? And so I want you to know that right now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. And we're making that transition to what does it mean for us to be the church of the second mile. And we read this last week. And really, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 42, all the way down to 45, you'll find out that this is where they say it used to be called an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now we know that I can't get down in the body of Christ. I can't get mad at you and just physically start throwing blows, even though that's what we used to do. We can't do that anymore. It also knows that, now this part is still hard for me, so don't try it too much, and don't do it too hard, because I might be able to turn the cheek once for a light slap, even twice for a light slap, but I can't promise you on the third time. The Lord is still working on me. But anyhow, this scripture starts telling us that we have to honor people above ourselves. And it tells us that we have to do all this. And then it says that it used to be in the times that this Bible was written that in Israel, if you were the servant to someone in Israel, if someone came through your city and they were carrying bags and traveling through, you would run down and you would carry that bag 1 mile to give them break. But here the Lord says that we're going to be the people that not just go 1 mile, but we'll go too. Uh-oh. Praise God. I want to just share a couple things here with you. And I know you guys don't think so, because it seems like I'm just getting started, but I'm telling you, we're not far off from closing up today, because I really just want to release these things into you and let you meditate on them, let you get them into your spirit, let you really give thought to this, because the Bible then says this in Galatians chapter 1, or I'm sorry, I like that when I take you somewhere that we don't need to go. Maybe you ought to write that down and say, uh-oh, instead of just thinking Pastor made a mistake, maybe he said that because I need to read that on my own. So write down Galatians 1 as a side note, underline it, look at it later. But we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And look what it says here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. And I want you to know that sometimes when we read the word, if you look these words up, it means mankind. So this word includes women, men and children, and so we need to understand that this is something for every one of us to be a part of. But let every man prove his work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Did you hear what that said? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let's not ever be a person in this church that says, they used to. Let's not ever be a person in this church when someone walks in and say, well, I know who that is. They've been an alcoholic their whole life. I've known four or five churches they've went to, and they ain't going to be here for long. Shut your mouth. Sometimes we speak forgetting who we are. Arrogant people. You know, I love us second and third generation Christians, but sometimes you get on my stinking nerves worse than anybody. I love you. You're strong enough to deal with it. But you are so stinking arrogant, you have forgotten. You'll puff up your nose to someone who's drinking. You'll puff up your nose to the sinner, something that Jesus would never do. You would never be found where Jesus was found. I'm not backing off yet. I'll love you in a minute. I'll love you. Hey, listen, in the church, we have to practice forgiveness and kindness, right? And I'm a shepherd, and I shear the sheep. Maybe I'm not good with my shears yet, so I might nick you a little bit. You're going to get a little cut. Just stitch your stuff up and still love me and say he'll be a better shepherd one day. But I got to tell you something. One of the biggest problems we have in the church is arrogant believers that are so condescending and good and so thankful about that fact that they've never been in sin and they've never done this and they've never done this, that they can't even be around people and treat them respectful enough to know that if someone is cussing, fussing, and drinking, and they don't have Christ, and if they're on drugs, and if they're sleeping with 10 different people, and if they have five partners in the same week, it ain't none of your stinking business. It's who they are. That's what sinners do. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You know, sometimes we see something and all we want to do is talk about it. And maybe what we need to do is see something, fast and pray about it, and hear what God wants us to do about it. I got to take a little walk for a minute. Okay, I'm calming down. I'm bringing it down. But no, I'm telling you, we have got to be an oasis of love and a shelter of hope. Remember what the Lord did to one of his most powerful disciples? When he went to the cross, one of his most powerful disciples got fearful. Not only did he deny the Lord, but he began to have a cussing fit to prove that he didn't know who Jesus was. And Peter was talking in words that he wasn't supposed to be talking in, because he was trying to say, no, I don't know him. I'm not a disciple. Filling in what we can't say. But anyhow, what did the Lord do to him? As soon as he returned from the cross, and the first time he spoke to Peter, he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then don't come into the church and sit in the back row. Peter, I'm restoring you to the power you had before I went to the cross. And you're not only going to be who you were, but you're going to be better than that." Mm. Whew. I better not do what I was going to do because Regina will yell at me. But I'm just thinking, we are supposed to be known for our love. And yeah, I'll tell you later, babe. There was a song I was going to sing for a minute, but it's just for her, so I'll serenade her later. But anyhow, it's a good song. But anyhow, I want you to understand something. That as the church of the second mile and as people that are really going to be representative of what God says, he first saves us to get us healed, right? And he makes us a new creature, but then immediately he says, "I've given you the ministry of reconciliation." And so this is who we are. And we're going to have to do part three next week because I really believe that I got to just dig in here for just a few more minutes right here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You know, well, I'll say that later, but it says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." I pray you're never a person that says, "Well, they get what they deserve." You know, Philip was talking about tithing and offering. Remember in Matthew 23:23, the Lord said, "Hey, tithing and offering is great, but what are you doing with the weightier things of the law? Like mercy, forgiveness, and then the commandment that's above all commandments is love." Well, praise the Lord. Man, I tell you, these messages I've been preaching the last few weeks, I thought there'd be a lot more shouting. I believe there is. You guys are just keeping it inside and shouting on the inside. But look what it says. "For he that soweth to his..." Uh-oh. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, people that are people of the second mile, they don't play with their faith. They don't make excuses for bad behavior. We don't try to just keep our sins hidden so we can live life any old way we want to. We don't look and ever think that we have a right to tell God what we're going to do and not do. We are people that do not sow to the flesh and to sin. We're people that on a daily basis are trying to do our part. You know, when someone says they're a Christian, people ought to see that reflected in how you are. Just be real. I'm telling you, there are things that I've had to work out, and I thank God that he changed them for me because I wasn't able to change them on my own. You don't got to pretend to be anything. The process of God will help you. And listen, we'll all walk up through this with each other on the journey. And then just one other thing here says, here's the most important thing. I almost skipped over it. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if you faint not." You know, if someone's going to give their life to the Lord and they're going to be a believer, I try to give them the 1 year and the 2 year challenge. I had to look at myself in the mirror one day and say, "Boy, you're 25 years old and you've given yourself plenty of time to do it wrong." Now, if I'm going to get saved and give God a chance, I'm going to stick to it for at least a whole year, full in, full out. I don't care if my family thinks I'm crazy because I'm going to church too much. I don't care if my friends say, "Hey, you're not hanging out with us." I'll tell them at that time I went to church on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and I'd have to tell them, don't schedule nothing on Sunday, don't schedule nothing on Wednesday. If you want to see me, I'll give you some time, but I'm telling you, if you call and my sweetie pie says he's not available, he's spending time with Jesus, as crazy as you think it is, I ain't coming out to see you. I love you, but we'll eat a Big Mac later. But I want you to understand that we just tried to prioritize God, didn't we? We just tried to prioritize God. And you guys think I'm bad about it. This little woman was worse than I was. We're going to tithe. We're going to do this. We're going to. She was just, It's true. She said, I don't think I sound like that. Well, I might not sound exactly like you, but the intent of the story is true. Brother, you think I'm bad. She was really bad. This one time, I hesitated to give an offering because it was the last $50 we had to our name. Now, we found out later that she didn't know that, but at the time, it was only the $50 I got. And she said, honey, I feel like God said we got to give $50. And I said, I know, babe. I'm praying about it. She said, that's what our problem is. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And here you are sitting around here praying about something instead of doing it. That's why we're not blessed. And by that time, I said, oh, my goodness. I got up shaking in my shoes and went to the offering bucket. I said, God, oh, that I would have faith like her. I mean, I was beat up. My backbone was stripped. I'm telling you, I could barely get to the car. And we sat in there. She said, okay, go into the store and get me a Dr. Pepper. I said, girl, that's in the offering bucket. She said, what? She said, that was everything. And I said, yeah, that was everything. Now, thank God I didn't tell her, oh, Miss Holier Than Thou, Miss All Faith. I did get that part right, Miss Jeannie. Woo, I didn't say that. I just said, honey, we both believe. And she said, yep, God will help us. And I got to tell you something. He kept gas in our car. He brought money in. I'll have to tell that story next week. But he just blessed us. And from that day forward, we never feared in that area like ever before. God is faithful. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. You know, there's just one more requirement that we're going to have to ascertain. And that's right here in 1 Corinthians. Because I'm telling you that God is going to add people to you because you are great folks. You have faith. You have love. You know, I want you to know that we're going to keep Bob in prayer because I've been calling them the newlyweds all week because they keep not answering my phone calls. I said, newlyweds, stop kissing for a moment. But I want you to know that Bob had a little trouble this weekend, so that's why they're not here. So we're going to keep him and Sally up in prayer. But, man, wasn't that a great wedding and all that kind of stuff? The Lord's a restorer. But it says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm coming to a close, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. Uh-oh. I'm talking to the real Christians here, those that are saved and those that are just all of that in a bag of chips. Are we still making sure that we make ourselves servants to all, that I might gain the more? And then the Jews became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, and that I might gain them that are under the law, to them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Now listen to me. Just because I hang around people that are not saved, I ain't going to act like people that are not saved. But I am going to love those folks, and they're going to know that they don't feel condemnation or attitude from me in any way, shape, or form. Because when they need help and hope, I want them to remember who I am and look to me so I can give them hope in their time of need. And it says here, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might be all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And I'm just telling you that right now, we're just going to stop right there. Because I want us to really practice this week. Am I truly humbling myself to honor others? Do I truly care enough to be a rescuer of others? Am I truly in this faith walk in a way that let God know I appreciate what he's doing for me, but my heart is also available for those who might not be where I am by the grace of God? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare your blessing over every person here today, God. Lord, I declare that you are strengthening them. And God, I declare, God, that we are more and more like Jesus every day, Father. Lord, that when we come up to those who may be in need of help, Father, that we're not judging, but we're asking. That we're not pushing away, but we're reaching towards. That we're not impatient, we're not unkind, we're not aloof. We're never one who passes judgment to say they will never be or they will never make it. That's not who we are. And Lord, I pray that you just open our hearts and we move closer and closer to who you want us to be in Jesus' name. Lord, we put Candace and Jim before you, Father. And Lord, I just pray, God, that bronchitis would leave, God. Lord, that Candace would feel a quick healing, Father. And Lord, that sickness would not come upon Jim, Father. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done for him, for how you've restored and healed, God. And Lord, I just pray blessing over them. Father, right now we pray for Amy and her family. Praise God. Father, we pray for her. And God, we just break sickness in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that she will know what issues are, but God, that she would be restored, healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now we lift up Bob. And Father, we just declare blessing over Bob. And God, we declare blessing over Sally. And Lord, we speak to Bob in Jesus' name that he's healed and whole by the stripes of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray, God, your hand is upon him in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, real quick, is there anybody here who wants to just give their heart to the Lord today? Or anybody here who just made the determination that, hey, Lord, I need your help. I need a Savior. If that's you, just quickly lift your hand. Hallelujah. All right. Well, praise God. Father, I just pray that if anybody's watching by live stream, God, and Lord, today's a day that they're sitting there saying, I have tried to do this life by myself, but today I make a commitment. Lord, I see that. Whew. The Lord just told me he's going to honor three people in this building right now who didn't raise their hand or come up here, but in their own heart they made a decision. I thank you for that, God. Oh, they're going to see. If they've ever been on a journey, they're about ready to see, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I thank you for those on live stream that are giving their heart to the Lord. And we declare your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. And open those doors. I think the kids are going to come in. And we're going to pray for these babies. Hopefully, they're ready. Hallelujah. Maybe they think I'm going to go long today. Praise God. I have decided too, folks, that sometimes I get the bad end of the rap because I go after everybody. And then Pastor Regina preaches a mini sermon to us. Hallelujah. That's always powerful. Then Philip did offering today and took an extra time doing that. He talked a lot today. He's usually quiet. And by the time I come, you know, I'm not going that long, but it just seems like. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Boy, look at these powerhouses. Man. faith-filled. Hi, how are you? Faith-filled, powerful children of the Most High God. Amen. Give them a hand clap of praise as they come into the building. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Where's Pastor Jared? He coming? All right. Okay. Praise God. Well, I want you to know that it's back to school time. Amen. And yep, if you are still in school, I want you to come up here along with these younger children. Amen. Boy, you know, you get to be teenage and, you know, you start thinking you're really independent. Amen. Praise God. Huh? What? Yeah, come this way, come this way, come this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says where two agree, there's an extra magnitude of power. And I know that Pastor Jared has been preaching the word along with Philip and everybody that's involved with you guys. And I'm telling you, I see what God is doing. Amen. So I'm going to tell Philip, you have to get up here with Pastor Jared here and you guys get behind me. And I'm just going to pray blessing over you guys. And we're just going to touch you lightly on that shoulder area, if that's okay. And I just believe, yes, babe, come on up here. And I just believe that there's a transference of the Spirit of God that's increasing upon you. And three things are going to happen. Number one, a spirit of I just don't quit is coming upon you. A spirit of even if I fall down, I don't give up because I'm more than a conqueror. And a spirit of I will fulfill my purpose because God has given me identity is being released on you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we touch each one of these children, Father, they're just infused with faith, power, authority, your goodness, God. Father, divine protection, peace, and wisdom is residing on them, Father. Lord, I thank you that the Bible says there are so many voices in the world, none without significance, but God, they're always going to be able to hear you, Father. Their spirit will know what's right and wrong. God, you are releasing divine protection over them, God. God, you are releasing gifts, calls, purposes, God. Lord, even at the young age of these tiny children, Father, you are blessing them, strengthening them. Your hand is upon them, God. Hallelujah. You are causing them to be blessed, and you're giving them strength, Father. Lord, we pray protection and peace and the power of God over each one of these children, Father. Lord, and I thank you according to Daniel chapter 1 verse 20 that Lord, when they go into the schools and in the places they will go, because you're with them, God, the Bible says that they will be magnified 10 times and more above everybody else in character, wisdom, and ability, because they have an unfair advantage, and it's called Jesus. Amen. Now, God, we just declare your blessing upon them and over their families and their households, Father. Lord, I thank you that you will give parents, grandparents, uncles, God, and aunts and cousins, God, you will give them wisdom and insight to provide protection and peace around these children all the time, Father. And Lord, I pray that just like young Samuel's, God, and just like young Mary's, they will just grow up in the fulfillment of their destinies. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give them a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, hey, we'll be up here to pray for anybody that needs prayer and anybody that just wants to talk. And we're going to ask you to retrieve your children and have a great, great, blessed day. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap.